Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Food Fight. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. Me and Nacho about to set this thing off right, man. Let's get this thing started, man. A lot of interesting stuff to talk about. We got some good dishes going around this kitchen. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen Thomas is alive.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for the tap. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and Wild Wife, he was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of me, they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your...
Okay. The caller number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. That could have been anywhere else in the world. But you're here with the chefs, and I'm going to get my co-host in here as best as we can. I'm coming from the East Coast. I'm going all the way across the country to the West Coast. Welcoming in Nacho, a.k.a. Mr. Silver. Welcome to the Food Fight. How are you feeling this afternoon?
You know, I was feeling good, and this little overweight thing got me upset, but I'm okay. I'm doing pretty good, like I said. It's a beautiful day out here in Arizona. It's wonderful, so wonderful weather. It's just amazing, so can't wait. You got to soak it up before June comes.
Right, and for the most part, he's already letting you guys in on some drama already in Sports City. I didn't want him to start letting cats out the bag right now, but we already gave you a little inkling of what's going on in the boxing world, at least for the evening, for one of the bouts. But let's have at it, Nacho. Let's spark this thing up. What do we have on slate for the Food Fight tonight?
You know, like I said, I alluded to a little overweightness, and that has to do with the Frankie Gomez and the Humberto Soto fight that was supposed to be going on tonight. Also, we're going to be talking about the fight that I've been waiting for a long time. Tonight, we also have Canelo Saul Alvarez going against James Kirkland. That's going to be a good fight. James Kirkland, earlier, he's had some ups and downs in his career. He's been going, you know, for highs and lows as you could possibly get. He's been knocking out guys, and he's been to jail a couple times. So he's had a bunch of highs and lows in his career. So a fight like this for him is amazing for him to get. So Canelo coming off of an ankle injury, the longest layoff of his career. We're going to have to see what's going on with Canelo as well. So those are the two big things that I kind of wanted to get into. I didn't know if you had anything else, but I did kind of want to get into both of those items.
Okay, so thoughts and concerns from both sides. I mean, we could start with Kirkland, going into this bout. Him being a southpaw actually poses a major threat to Canelo because I don't think he's seen a southpaw of this stature coming at him. So this should be setting up for an interesting fight. Let's start with Kirkland coming at an orthodox boxer like Alvarez.
You know, and Kirkland, he had the nickname early in his career, the Mini Tyson. He had that style of coming forward and knocking guys out early in fights, all due to who I believe helped him out the most, his trainer, former female boxer Ann Wolf. So she definitely helped him out in his style of fighting and things like that. So what he has to do technically, it's going to be awkward because he's got a whole new staff. He's got a whole new crew. He's got a brand new trainer who's never trained before in his life at this level. We've got, you know, he's got a new conditioning coach. He's got a new team, so to speak. So I don't know what to expect from Kirkland. I mean, you know, we all can agree that he's going to be that come forward type of guy looking for the knockout, trying to hit that power punch. But, you know, just having that slight 0.5 reach advantage, disadvantage to Canelo, he doesn't have to stay too far away from Canelo. They can kind of stay as far as he wants. So it's going to be interesting to see what he brings into this. He hasn't let known what, you know, him and his trainer have been working on. They're kind of just saying, you're going to have to wait till the fight. You're going to have to wait for the fight. So I really, you know, it's hard for me to determine where to go. You know, if he was with Ann Wolf again, I could tell you what exactly he was going to do. He was going to come forward. He was going to look for the knockout, and he might catch Canelo early if he was in with Ann Wolf. But his only when he didn't fight with Ann Wolf the last time, it was a first round TKO against an Asian fighter, Hishori. I can't say his name, Hishori Nabata. I don't want to mess it up. So just look it up. It's a TKO loss early. He did not have Ann Wolf then. He doesn't have her now. So I don't know if that's going to be a big factor or not, determining whether, you know, the style of fight he comes forward, or whether he tries to lay off and bait Canelo into coming in and try and counter him with that, like you said, with that southpaw style, the awkward throws. Canelo never facing a southpaw of this nature before. It's going to be interesting. So, but like I said, it's hard for me to say the style. Like I said, he's got a whole new team, a whole new trainer, and they're not divulging anything as to whether he's going to try to knock him out or whether he's going to try to bait him in or whatever is going to happen. So it's very interesting to me on this side, because it's kind of unknowing what's going to happen, even though we do know the only time he was not with Ann Wolf, he got TKO'd.
Now, see, the interesting thing about a southpaw is, you being a right-handed boxer, you have to continually step to your left to get away from his power set. Now, I don't know if Canelo's camp has made him aware of this, but he's going to have to stay away from that left hand, because this could actually spell doom for Canelo to try and pursue going right-handed and trying to go toward his right. He misses. He could walk into something dangerous with a left hand anywhere to his chin or, you know, to his body that could offset him in this fight. So this is going to be something that Canelo has to pay attention to. This is something that Kirkland is going to have to pay attention to. Now let's look at the other perspective on the other side of the coin, looking at Canelo going toward Kirkland, or how he could be successful going up against a left-handed boxer. Does he take the same tactics? And I don't really want to draw this strong comparison. People, bear with me. But does he draw the same tactics toward the way Floyd Mayweather stayed away from Pacquiao's left hand and made it tough for Pacquiao to connect with his strong hand? Or do you think Canelo continues to play his, you know, bull-setting type of boxing and goes in there and has that and trying to deal with that left hand?
You know, he tried to do the Mayweather against Mayweather. He tried to be that defensive fighter and tried to, you know, pick and choose his shots. And we saw what happened. That face got tore up. I mean, if Floyd had any power in those shots, we might have seen a knockout. I mean, the way he was teeing off on Canelo's face, you know, I don't think Canelo wants to attempt that, especially with a power guy like Kirkland. You don't want to try to bait him or set up and be a defensive fighter when the last time you tried to do it, now, albeit, you know, I don't want to make the comparison, but the last time you did it, you got teed off. Now, there's nothing stopping from this southpaw from catching you one time. I'm not saying he's going to tee off on Canelo, but he could catch him one time. So I don't know if Canelo wants to do that. I see Canelo doing what he does best, what he did against Lora, what he did against Angulo, that come forward type of style, keep punching and punching, whether it be body or to the head, just wearing down the opponent. I think I see that from Canelo. The thing about him is his training. He's been off for 10 months, the longest layoff he's ever had between fights in his entire career. We all know what happens when athlete of any sport takes off a time longer than usual. Getting back into the ring, getting back onto the court, onto the field, onto the ice, it takes time. It takes a couple rounds or games or, you know, quarters for you to get acclimated back to professional level of whatever sport you're doing. My question for Canelo is, and when these first couple rounds, if Kirkland comes at him, because I believe he might do the same bulls type of style, which is come straight forward and try to go for the knockout. Is Canelo going to be prepared? Is he ready enough? We've seen the 24/7. He's so relaxed. He's got to walk to his training room. He gets to go play paintball when he wants to. He's relaxed. He's having fun. Is that, you know, is that going to help him or hurt him? I don't know, but he's more relaxed than I've ever seen him before a fight. I don't know if the Angulo and Laura fight, especially after Mayweather getting, you know, manhandled and coming out and beating, TKOing Angulo and then beating Laura, if that boosted his confidence to say that now, you know, now Floyd's going to be stepping down. I know I'm not fighting him in September. I'm the man at this weight class now. So I don't know if he's got that air of confidence now, being, you know, only one loss to the man, the one and only. So it makes me kind of wonder how Canelo comes into this fight, the longest layoff between fights. And like I said, it's going to be interesting to see if he, we all know he's ready for the spotlight, you know, regardless of, you know, how much he got, you know, manhandled against Floyd. He was ready and he brought it. He just was not, you know, he just wasn't up to the caliber of Floyd at that time in his career. So it gets interesting to me whether he feels like he's up to that caliber now and he feels more confident that he doesn't have to change his style up and do what he's done that's got him to 44 victories and only one loss and one draw early in his career. So it's going to be interesting to see. But you bring up a great point about his style. That bull style is perfect. This end up could be in a war, but I'm just really interested to see what Canelo, how he handles it. That 10 months is really what I'm interested in seeing.
Right, and looking at him having a 10-month layoff, this is something that I actually worry about when Floyd comes around on the turn of the year, because he fights in September, and the next fight usually comes around in the month of May, which is an 8-month layoff, which is close to this. And you could see the ring rust on a guy like Floyd Mayweather, who notably in the discussion of being the best or one of the best boxers that we've ever seen. Now, this is a situation where Canelo's, you know, in his young, early 20s, he's going to have ring rust. Now, either if he's a stronger bull like Canelo coming forward, if he's rusty and not connecting on the punches that he usually comes forward with, or if he gets caught loosely trying to throw one of those haymakers that he's used to throwing, and Franklin actually connects right on the button, this could be something that worries people that are in the Canelo camp and the people that support him as well. Now, you got guys like Golden Boy, a.k.a. Oscar, supporting and backing Canelo and saying Canelo could actually be in a league of his own in the rest of boxing after fighting Floyd Mayweather. Do you think that was a situation where, you know, steel sharpens steel, where Floyd Mayweather could have made him better for the last time he had a bout in a boxing ring?
I think it did. I mean, that was one of the first things, like I said, we all watched 24/7. That was one of the first things they asked him about the Floyd fight, because as of right now, the numbers on the Pacquiao fight aren't out. So as of right now, it stands as the second highest grossing fight all of boxing, so pay-per-view-wise. So it goes to show he was ready. He just was not ready for Floyd. And like you said, steel sharpens steel, and he's been better. We saw what he did to Angulo. We saw what he did to Laura. You know, I accept body shots. I count them. So I saw what he did to Laura. It takes Alvarez knowing what he knows now. Plus, like you said, after fighting Floyd, the first thing he said when every interview is, I learned so much from this fight. I learned a lot. I learned a lot. I learned. All he said was learn. And when you fight someone like Floyd, if you don't learn anything, then you're not a true boxer. You're not in it for the sport. You're in it for the money at that point. Because if you fight Floyd, obviously you've lost. And you should have learned something, because he's going to pick your flaw and he's going to make you, you know, do what you hate to do the most during an entire fight. Whatever you're the worst at, he's going to make you do that the entire fight. And by the end of the fight, you're going to have a 12-round, most of the time, you're going to have a 12-round tutorial on how not to fight anymore. So I'm very sure he watches that fight continually all the time. And he learns what not to do all the time. So, yeah, you're right. It's still sharpening steel, and I think he is better. Like I said, the only thing I'm more concerned with Canelo, I really do think this is Canelo's fight to lose. I just have to see that ring rust. 10 months, longest ever. He started when he was 15 years old. By the time he fought Floyd, he had just as many fights as Floyd, and he was 10 years younger. It's ridiculous how many fights this kid has gone through. So he's definitely prepared and ready. He you know, he's not an amateur or he's not a fluffed up fighter in it by any means. He's been fighting for, you know, he's 24, I think now 25. He's been fighting for, 10 years now. So he, like I said, 10 months, the longest layoff between any fight in his whole career. That's what I'm worried about, and to see if he can move on that ankle like he did before.
Now, do you think this ankle can be a problem? I don't want to, because this is starting to turn into a recurring situation in boxing, that nagging injuries. And I don't want it to be a situation where I'm more or less pointing fingers, but there's no way I can look outside of last week. And can this be a recurrent situation if Kirkland is to take advantage and win this fight? A, he starts talking about ring rust, or B, it being a situation where his legs aren't underneath him due to the ankle injury?
You know, I think Canelo's, I don't want to call integrity, but I think he's more of more integrity fighter than Manny Pacquiao. If he loses this fight, he's not going to blame it on ankle. He's not going to blame it on ring rust. He's going to blame it on himself. He knows what he can do. If he walks into that ring and takes an L, especially a knockout early, he's going to know it's his fault, and he's going to know why it happened, and I don't think he's going to blame it on an ankle or ring rust. Now, if he does, I don't know what to think of him anymore. I mean, not to that extent, but, you know, we know you've got an ankle injury. We know you've been off 10 months. That shouldn't be an excuse. You've got prepared. Like I said, I'm keep going back to 24/7, but he said it in 24/7. He came back early. He started training camp earlier. Not only is this the longest layoff, this is the earliest he started his training camp. So he can get back into that fighter shape. He can get back into the ring style, the ring physique, the ring, knowledge, whatever, the ring stuff that Alvarez puts into his work in a regular training camp. He wanted to extend that so he can be ready, knowing he'd had such a long time off. So it's gonna be, not good in my eyes if he starts, making excuses to an early loss or even a decision where he just doesn't look like himself because the ankle is clearly hurt. A Sergio Martinez situation where that knee was clearly hurt and bothered him the whole fight against Cotto. So, you could clearly make the excuse, but he didn't. So I would definitely not like to see Canelo make an excuse like that, especially after last weekend. It would taint the sport even more, especially since we know about this injury and we know you've been off 10 months. Pacquiao made it a bigger issue by lying and deceiving the public. This would be a bigger issue because not only is he not deceiving, but he's using it as a crutch to why he lost. And if you're using it like that, we as fans know that's not why you lost. You lost because of, we saw it in the ring. So I hope he doesn't, but I don't see him using the injury or the layoff as an excuse. I think he would definitely just own up to what happened. If he does end up losing, he would own up to why he lost, and he would accept that he lost to a better fighter who's frankly not as experienced in fights, but in life is far more experienced than I think Canelo could ever be. So, it's nothing to knock a man who's been knocked down so many times. If he gets in Canelo's face and knocks him out early, I think Canelo could accept that. He lost to, I don't want to say a better man, but a good man at least. I don't think we're going to see him take the sport.
Whoa, what's this bone to pick? Now, I don't want to say that he's a good man or the better man. What's that about? Why?
Well, no, I don't mean in personal life and personal experiences. They always affect how you perform in your professional as a professional athlete, in my opinion. How you handle things in your personal life. This man Kirkland has been to prison multiple times. He's knocked out, multiple men. They called him Mini Tyson. He was on the fast track to being one of the stars in boxing, and he went to prison twice. If anyone can, fight through or anything, get through something, I think it's Kirkland, the way he's handled it, the way he's gone through it. So I wouldn't be shocked to see Kirkland walk in there and take advantage and knock Canelo out. I wouldn't be shocked at that because of what Kirkland's been through in his personal life and what a boxer he is. That's his style. that's who he is. He's an early round knockout, I don't want to say artist, but through his career, that's what he was doing. Now, that all depends on what, you know, the new trainer and the new crew he's got around him has entailed for the style of fighting, but I wouldn't be surprised. And I don't mean better man or anything like that. And Canelo, he's a great man. You know, he did move to San Diego. He lives in that plush home. He's getting a little Mayweather-y for me. If you watch the 24/7, you'll know what I mean. He's walking down the long path to his training. He's driving fancy cars throughout the whole 24/7. I mean, it's getting – I get it. You know, he's one of the best. You know, he's got the money and things like that, but it's getting a little too much. I think he might be getting a little too overconfident in Canelo. So, like I said, I can see Kirkland coming in there. I don't expect it. By all means, I do expect Canelo to take care of business, do what he's supposed to do, go in there and take care of this guy. But by all means, I would not be surprised if Kirkland went in there and I would say shock the rest of the world except me, because I can see Kirkland going in there. Like I said, personal experience is really, really, you know, they really take a toll on you. And professionally, you know, Kirkland's been through the worst of the worst. Standing in front of him now is Canelo. That's really nothing compared to what he's had to deal with, possibly in prison. That's what I'm getting at. So I can think that Kirkland can muster up the strength to get in there and get him, and I wouldn't be surprised. That's what I mean. I don't mean to call him a better man, but like I said, he's been through more things in his life, struggle-wise, than I think Canelo has or ever will. I know Canelo had to start young at 15 because of, you know, poverty and things like that. But to be on the fast track to being one of the greatest or one of the best fighters, to go to prison, to get back in the fighting shape, and to be on the fast track again and then go to prison again, the decision-making, he didn't show great decision-making, but the perseverance to come back again and now have a next level fight, a top fight against a top fighter, shows what Kirkland's made of, in my opinion.
Okay, so on record, who do you like in this fight and why? Are you going with Canelo because he's the notable guy that should get rid of Kirkland? Or is it a situation where Kirkland does the Muhammad Ali and shakes up the world tonight on HBO?
I don't foresee a shakeup tonight in the world. I see Canelo going in there, being the bull, being the man he is. I think his camp, like you said, has instructed him to step left. He knows what he does not do well. He knows what he does well. Like I said, he spent 12 rounds in the ring figuring out what not to do with Mayweather. He knows what not to do anymore. I see Canelo winning this fight, unanimous decision after 12, with the caveat being I can see a late-round TKO, similar to an Angulo, where he's just brutalizing him. So I definitely have Canelo winning this fight by decision, with a little caveat where I can accept or see a TKO by Canelo late in the fight. And one thing just to throw out there, Kirkland does have an 84, if we round up, an 85% knockout rate. Just to throw that out there. And he does only have one loss on his record too, that being the TKO loss to Nobuhiro Ishida in 2011. So he knows, you know, he's been hit before, he's been knocked down. Canelo hasn't. Canelo's going to continue not being knocked down. He's going to walk out the victor.
Okay, so let me shake some pots and pans and dishes around here. What if Kirkland is to knock him out? What does this do to Canelo Alvarez moving forward?
Canelo has to suck it up and fight him again. He would have to turn around, make the fight. We're in May. So make it 6 months, make it December, I guess, you know, give it some time, make it a December fight rematch. If Canelo gets knocked out early, I would have to see it again. Kirkland would have to prove to me again that he could do it, because Canelo is that much of a superior fighter that to me it would seem too lucky, not surprising, but too lucky if Kirkland got an early knockout. So I would have to see it again, and Canelo would have to avenge that loss to me. The Mayweather loss to me, he just got manhandled and beat. I can see, you know, if him winning, then you know, something Mayweather might look, I don't know, maybe in May for the 50-0, but that's looking too far in the future. But for Canelo's purposes, getting knocked out tonight early he would have to fight Kirkland in my eyes again. There might not be no money in that, but he would have to fight him again to even, you know, get back into some kind of anything, because no one's going to want to fight him, in my opinion, even though he would draw big Mexico numbers. If he gets knocked out early against a guy, like you said, that he's supposed to go in there and walk all over, it's not going to be great for him unless he can prove that it was a fluke and he goes in there and beats him again and beats him up like he should have the first time.
And the crazy part is how young Canelo is and all of the fights that he did have was earlier in his career. And it wasn't like he was fighting the best of the crop that's in the world today, but he's starting to fight those boxers now. So if Kirkland is to take advantage and get that left off and you know, put it on the button. I mean, this could actually spell some danger for not only Canelo Alvarez, but Oscar De La Hoya also, because Oscar De La Hoya is setting him up to be the face of Golden Boy Boxing. So there's a lot resting on Canelo Alvarez. You better keep your hands up, because as you've seen, Canelo's defense isn't the best. It is not the best, I'm just saying. Knowing that people can get to that face and that chin area, one, they can swell that eye up, and we all know what happens in the ring with a swollen eye. Whichever eye it is, they can't see that opposing hand coming. That could spell doom. Or if he gets to that button, it only takes 2 pounds of pressure to put you on your back. I'm just saying. Okay, so there's an interesting situation that I was just awakening situation in front of my co-host, Mr. Silva, about Frankie Gomez and his fight being canceled up against Humberto Soto, which was supposed to take place in this same card, because he was 6.5 pounds overweight for the junior welterweight fight. Your thoughts on Gomez not being prepared, and this is due to a sickness within a 2-week span, was not ready for the weigh-in as of yesterday.
You know what? I'm going to side completely on the side of Eric Gomez, the vice president of Golden Boy. He's just disgusted and upset at this, because this to me is the most egregious thing that any boxer can do, coming in overweight. And not only coming in overweight, but they actually extended the weight from 141 to 145 and gave him to this morning to get under that. So this is what happened. It's 141. He goes to the weigh-in. He weighs 147.5. They say, okay, we'll give you leeway and make the weight now 145. So you only have to cut 2.5 pounds. He comes in 3 pounds overweight this morning, coming in, you know, at 148 or you know, over that. So a total of 8 pounds over the original weight he was supposed to come in at on Friday. This, like I said, it's egregious. It's disgusting. It doesn't make any sense to me. You knew you were sick. You knew you were ill. Whether or not that was going to affect your weight, it could affect the way you fight. If you go into a fight where you're sick or anything like that, it can affect the other fighter. We all know about diseases and spreading diseases that way and things like that. Whatever the disease may be, we don't want to get too far into that. But you're sick. You don't let it be known to anyone in your camp or anything like that. Until a few days before fight night, it makes no sense to me. Now we're left with nothing. If he would have came out 2 weeks ago, I'm sure Golden Boy, De La Hoya, Gomez, they could have figured, Eric Gomez, vice president, they could have figured something out. They could have replaced the fight. They could have, you know, they would have had another big name in there. Now we're stuck with, most possibly, if I'm not mistaken, a Claudi and some no-name that he's supposed to beat up. And the only reason they would throw Claudi in there is because he's lost to big names that were just fighting last weekend. And people would know that he lost to both Manny and other people. So it was just it's really sickening to the sport. It makes me mad. And like you said, especially coming off last weekend with the liar, the deceit, with what he did and coming out now with this kid, he's 18-0. We've seen, this was a fight that we were ready for. I was ready for Humberto Soto. He's no young stud. He's 34. He was 65 wins, 8 losses, 2 draws. He's a seasoned veteran. He's coming out with, you know, 35 knockouts, so he was prepared for this fight. He came in at 142.5 this morning. So for that new 145 weigh-in that they made, he came in at weight yesterday. He came in, you know, at weight today. So he was ready. He's prepared. Why aren't you? You're the young stallion. You're undefeated. You know, there's nothing going on. You're 23 years old, and you can't, you know, suck it up and let your superiors know, hey, I'm not going to be well. I might come in overweight. You know, let's wait until I'm 100%, and that way I don't disgrace, you know, Golden Boy, and I don't disgrace this card by not fighting, which happened. It does make De La Hoya look bad. It does make Golden Boy look bad. You've got fighters that can't make weight. What are you doing over there? That's the overall consensus. You know, what's going on? What in the world, you know, are you doing now? It doesn't make any sense. Now we have, like I said, we have to deal with a fight that no one wants to see compared to a fight that I thought could have stole the card. This fight here could have, you know, overshadowed, but it could have stolen the light from Canelo Kirkland if Canelo would have went in there and totally does what I think he's going to do, unanimous decision win. So this could have been a fight that would have been back and forth. We could have seen the Frankie with that knockout power, 18 wins, 13 knockouts, no losses, no draws. So we could have seen something spectacular tonight if this kid would have sucked it up, you know, and made weight. Or if he would have, you know, at least let the governing body know, hey, I'm not going to make it. I'm sick or whatever. And you made a great point earlier before we got on here. You know, when you're sick, you normally lose weight. So that further begs the question, what in the hell were you sick? I mean, how are you sick? I don't get it. I've never been sick to where I constantly eat. I've never been sick to where I gain weight. If somebody has, let me know, because I don't know. Oh, I don't know. I've never heard of anyone gaining weight while being sick. So I don't get it. And then to gain even more weight overnight, that further proves you're not even trying. It doesn't make any sense at all. It really doesn't. It's sad. The way you just, oh, man, it's sickening to me how you could do this. Not only do you come overweight once, would you come overweight twice? And, you know, I think we got somebody on here, a good friend, calling out of Chandler. Chandler is a city where I live. So that's what I was going to say, coming out of Chandler. But he's actually, I believe he's calling from Georgia. I don't know where he's calling from. But Chandler, if you're there, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to be from Chandler, which is a city near me. But you're from where you're from, and your name is Chandler. How you doing?
Okay, I was actually just listening to the show. You guys know a lot more about boxing than I do. I was just curious. The only question I had was when you were speaking about the boxer who came in overweight, and you said he had a sickness. How does the sickness make you gain weight? The only sicknesses I know all make you lose weight. So how could he say a sickness caused him to gain weight?
You know, that's the main question I have, too. I don't understand how you can get sick and gain weight at the same time. You either, and like I was telling Ty earlier, you're expelling waste somehow, whether it be vomiting or the other direction. You're expelling it because of your sick. Your body's clearing out whatever sickness is in you, so you're most likely going to lose weight. If he would have came in dramatically underweight, looking really skinny, not looking fit, then I can understand it. Okay, you're sick. I get it. You were trying to gain weight. You just couldn't keep anything down. You're dramatically underweight. Instead of coming in at 141 or even 138, you come in at 132 even, or even like a 131, almost 10 pounds underweight. I would, you know, even let's say you're 8 pounds underweight, you know, you come in at 133 instead of 8 pounds overweight. I can understand, you know, them canceling the fight to the detriment of him and his health. He needs to get figured out. I would still not understand why he wouldn't tell anyone 2 weeks earlier that he's sick, but it would make more sense, and I can believe that he was actually sick. This doesn't make any sense. He's lying. I think he was scared to take this fight. Like I said, he's got 18 wins, 13 knockouts. He's going up against a seasoned veteran. He's 5 wins. I know he's got 8 losses. 35 knockouts. He's got 552 rounds boxed with a KO percentage of 46%. He knows what to do when he's in that ring, and he's coming off of, let me count it again, 2, 4, 6, 7 straight wins and 1 TKO. So he's coming off of some strong victories, and I think he was scared. I don't think he was ready for the limelight. This is one of the biggest cards right after Mayweather, right after Pacquiao. You're going to have to fight on one of the biggest cards with one of the biggest names in Canelo Alvarez. And he didn't want to lose. He didn't want to tarnish that record. I think he let us down. He let boxing fans down. I think this would have been an amazing fight. I think this would have been awesome. Like I said, I think this might have overshadowed the Canelo fight with of how back and forth and how good of a fight this could have been. I'm at a loss. I'm distraught. I'm upset with him. I don't know if I want to see him fight again. I don't care really anymore about him. He was up and coming. I was getting to know him. You can, if you want to go look at his knockouts. He's got some very, very good knockouts, some very, awesome-looking knockouts. But I was expecting to see something like that tonight. I was expecting to see him come in and, like I said, even overshadow Canelo and Kirkland tonight and give us a great knockout or at least a display of knockdowns. But nothing. We don't get that. We, as boxing fans, have to stick with Claudy or whatever, some BS that it just doesn't make any sense to me. And like I said, I understand if you're truly sick, but let your people know. Let your guys, let your staff, let your training camp, let the people who are paying you know. Now they can take you out, let you get better, let you get healthy, let you, get back to 100%, sign you up for another fight. The year's not going to stop. The days don't stop after today. There's going to be a Sunday. There's going to be a Monday and a Tuesday and all the way to the next week. You could have postponed this fight to a later date. There's more cards coming up. Golden Boy's not going to stop making cards after tonight. So this doesn't make any sense. I understand you want to make your money and you want to put food in your belly and in your family's belly and things like that, but this is not the way you go at it. Now you've embarrassed yourself, you've embarrassed Golden Boy, and quite honestly, you've embarrassed boxing. We're not going to get into it today, but I anticipate us getting into some MMA, and we almost never hear of guys coming in overweight over there, and even women coming in overweight over there. They don't do it. They at their core, they know that is one of the most egregious things that any fighter can do. Yes, they have done it. But they don't do it to this extent where you're an up-and-comer and this is your stage. This is your time to shine. This is, like I said, this could have been Gomez's time to make a name for himself, a statement for himself, to get out there and say, I'm ready to hang, I'm ready to fight main events and do what I'm supposed to do. So it just doesn't make any sense that you would put yourself in this situation, put Golden Boy in this situation where now they have to put some – albeit whack fight on before Canelo Kirkland, where some people might be disinterested and not want to watch. And it makes me sad that you did this to the sport. They could have changed it. They could have put something else in. They could have changed it and put some other fighters that we want to see as fans. I know that I've been going on really long about this. It shakes me to my core. I'm an overweight guy. I'm not physically fit. But if you tell me that I'm going to get a main stage and I got to weigh a certain amount by a certain time, have it to Betsy. I'm going to do as much as I can, as best as I can. And if I come down with an illness or a sickness or I come down with something that's physically making me not do what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to let someone know so I can get healthy and do what's right. Ty, am I wrong or am I thinking too much over this? Is this nothing? Is this a young fighter making a simple mistake? What?
Well, no, I definitely agree with you. And here's the reason why. this is their occupation. You know what I mean? So, like, your job is on the line. Now, this is the one thing that I have to twist towards you after I finish the rant, but the one thing I want to throw towards you is, do they come up with this fight at a later date to try and let Gomez come back and try and fight Soto, or is this a lost opportunity, knowing that he is going to be a prize fighter the way that his standings are with an unbeaten record, you know, and knowing that this would have been a true test to be able to deal with somebody as seasoned as Soto going into this bout. Now, here's the situation that I have toward Gomez is, you know, this is where a lot of people are saying boxing is tainted and he's got to get second opportunities, and looking at the situation like MMA, like you're doing out there with John Bone Jones, they gave him several instances to try and come back. He got caught again doing something crazy. They stripped him of his belt. Now, this is in a situation where the big-time championship on the line, but, you know, this is something that Gomez is going to have to look into if they're going to be like, look, he doesn't take this seriously. We're not going to throw a big-time payday at this guy at the end of the day. So this is something that I know that they're going to draw concern toward moving forward with a guy like Gomez. But your thoughts on if they do rekindle this down the line somewhere?
I think for Gomez and Soto, this fight might be over and done with. I think, you know, Gomez made a statement tonight he doesn't want to fight him. And in this sport, when you've got a zero at the end of your record, you kind of almost can do what you want and to some extent. This is a statement, in my opinion. He does not want to fight Gomez. Gomez does not want to fight Soto. So he's going to fight someone else at a later date. He'll make weight, and we'll probably see him knock him out, and he'll grow his thing. The thing to me is it screws Soto, because this could have been a test for him if he's still, you know, able to do it, able to knock out guys, able to withstand these youngsters, and whether he wanted to continue his career. It was also a step up for him if he would have won on a main stage like this too. So he's also taking money out of someone else's pocket and you know, hurting someone else. It's not like Soto can just hop in the ring with anyone else. No one's going to call in today and say, yeah, I want to fight him. You know, so he's taking money out of someone else's pocket as well. It taints him as a boxer. And if I'm a top contender in that weight class, I don't want to fight him, and I don't ever want to fight him. I don't ever want to see him in a fight, because I don't know if he's going to come in overweight and screw up my payday. I don't know if he's going to do anything dumb or anything like that. This is what, like I said, this is the most egregious thing you can do in this sport, and he did it twice. So if he's willing to do it twice, imagine what he's willing to do whenever he feels like it. So this is definitely going to taint him and hurt him, and it's going to be hard for him to get any big boxer to want to fight him, and now, especially on a pay-per-view event or any other event.
Well, let's talk about thirsty boxers in that division that could potentially end up fighting a guy like Gomez. Okay, you have a situation where I don't think he may be ready, but he wants to step up to welterweight itself, and that being Danny Garcia. Garcia is in that junior welterweight division, which could pose a threat, and also Adrian Broner, who has a loss right now trying to revitalize his career. Broner could be an actual good time contender to go up against them if they could get a weight that they both can meet at. Do you think names like that could get involved? Because those names carry more weight than Gomez does at this actual time.
The Broner name, I believe, is in works for June or July with Porter. So that name may be out of the question. But the other ones, yeah, it's going to be hard to see. I would definitely, Danny coming into 147, Frankie might be the test he needs. Another undefeated fighter with knockout power. If he could at his same weight class almost. So and like you said, going up to 147, obviously he's coming in at 147.5 at the first night. He can make 147. He could do that being Frankie Gomez. So I would not mind. I would definitely I could see him fighting Garcia, especially with Garcia moving up and not wanting to fight the top 147 just yet, seeing if he can take some power from someone who's a knockout, you know, artist, so to speak, at 18, 13 of 18 wins or by knockout. So I can definitely see against Gomez. But like I said, with the Broner fight, he does, in my opinion, he needs to fight Chino again. He needs to I'm an advocate for avenging your loss, especially when I think you should have beaten the man. I think Adrian Broner should have beat Chino. Chino came in with the game plan, so to speak, and hit and hit and hit. And that's Chino. That's what he does, and he did it. It actually got him a fight with Floyd. You know, way to go, Chino. But he needs to fight, you know, Adrian Broner. They need to go at it again. But like I said, the rumblings in June or July, I can't remember the date right now, is a Broner, Porter. And I believe the weight is supposed to be 147. I think they might want to make it a catch at 144. So it's that's interesting in and of itself, and that's going another direction. But you tossed the Broner name out there, so I don't think that would be in the works quite yet, maybe later on down the road, especially if Broner takes another L and Gomez has, you know, has some wins, more wins behind him. Broner would want to take a, you know, would definitely probably want to take that fight and try to, you know, put a loss on his record and solidify his name and get, you know, get bring his name back up, especially after another loss. But like I said, with Broner, to me, he needs to fight Chino.
It's interesting. That's if Golden Boy will set that up, at least for my daughter. That would be a big potential second fight. I'm actually, you know, trying to put together a sequel. That's the word I was looking for, the sequel for, because this could be a three-time fight. They could come up with a trilogy, and that's if Adrian is successful, because they'd have to set up the third fight between the two of them. But the Danny Garcia situation is somewhat scary, because he still remains unbeaten. You would have two unbeatens going into this fight, but he didn't look too good at his last showing up against Peterson. So I don't know if it's a situation where Angel, his father, was actually trying to put him in front of another, you know, I don't want to call these guys chumps because they're professional fighters, but in front of these guys, they're chumps. It'd be a situation where it'd be a lesser quality guy so he could actually fine-tune himself to get ready for a bigger bout and a bigger payday in boxing, because I think the situation for Garcia, a lot of people still don't believe in his capabilities. Now, this situation up against Gomez, this could be a lesson learned if these two guys can go up against each other, and it would set up a big type of payday that both of them have a zero in their loss column.
You know, they do both have zeros, and looking at the top 10 right now in this weight division class, you know, you've got Chino, you've got Guerrero, you've got Khan, you've got Thurman and Bradley, Kell Brook. There's a lot of names with some big power, and, you know, I don't know if Garcia is ready for this weight class. This is really scary for Garcia in my eyes if he wants to come up here. But like I said, if he does want to come up here, if he does want to come up there and go to that welterweight, Gomez would be a filler out. But like I said, if Gomez gives him a test and tests that chin and is able to knock Garcia down or even give him a loss, I don't see him even attempting to go to this weight class. Like I said, Brooke, Khan, Bradley, Thurman, Marquez, Porter, Maidana, Guerrero, and Diego Chavez. I mean, those names alone, you're not going to want to see if you're Garcia, if Frankie Gomez is giving you a challenge. So I would definitely want to see him take that challenge first off, and if he can get past him with no problem, then I'm definitely going to want to see what he can do, because he'll have a zero there. And there's a couple of those fighters that I named with some zeros too. So that would be interesting to see as well.
Question to you, Nacho, being thrown to us in our sportscitychef@gmail.com inbox states, how do you think, and this is a legitimate question too, how do you think Ann Wolf not being in the corner for Kirkland will affect him in this fight tonight?
I said it before, and I think it's the main thing. Like I said, we don't know what he's got with his new training staff and what they're preparing, because he's not letting us in. But I think the writing's on the wall. With Ann, he's undefeated. Without, he's knocked out in the first round. I know it's a small sample size with just one fight, but that's what you get when you don't have Ann Wolf in his corner. I think he needs that. The training she brings to him, that rough, rugged military type of style training that she brings, really helped him out. And I think that's what he needed to go into a fight like this against another bull in Canelo. So I see it being a very detriment to him and to the way he wants to fight. And like I said, you fight one style almost your entire career, and you bring a whole new staff in and a whole new trainer who's never trained at this level before. It might spell disaster for him early, trying to do too much or trying to do things he's not familiar with early. I think Ann Wolf would have been the great fit for him. This fight might even be closer than what they have the odds on it. Ann Wolf for him is, as tainted as his name is now, Freddie Roach to Manny, Freddie Roach to Cotto, Klitschko's trainer, God rest his soul, Severn. So,
Emmanuel Stewart.
Or not Severn. Yeah, Emmanuel Stewart, sorry. So it's just, that's how I felt. The chemistry with them two is just so great. And like I said, undefeated with Ann Wolf, knocked out without her. I think it's going to be tremendously seen tonight against Canelo.
Now, interesting, right? We are getting close to the tail end of the show, right? And here goes an interesting situation. We've seen the mega fight, or if people want to paint it as a mega fight, I call it boxing clinic. And I actually take that from, I don't know if people actually follow sports overseas like that, but the sport network over there is called Sky Sports. And that's what they called it. They called it an extraordinary boxing clinic put on by Floyd Mayweather. Now, interesting enough, how everything went down last Saturday, you get the stories and reports that Manny did or did not. I don't want to paint the picture and say that he didn't, but he had a torn rotator cuff. He actually had successful surgery, quote unquote. And Floyd Mayweather comes out with an interview that'll be out tonight on Showtime. But in the interview, they give you a clip where he says he's not giving Manny a rematch, and basically calling him a sore loser, and all of the trash talk has finally come out in Floyd after the fact that he's been victorious. And I think more or less Floyd was being cautious because he didn't want to get out there running his mouth and just have Manny all angry, trying to basically take his head off. But now that he's accomplished the situation, you got not only Floyd not wanting to rematch him, but two, he's talking the junk that we're notably known for Floyd taking care of business on. Your thoughts on, one, the rematch not being rescheduled, and two, where Floyd could potentially go after this, and if you want to, you can tie in the trash-talking situation also.
I'll do it all together. Here's my opinion, and here's what I have anticipated for Floyd Mayweather. September will be a walkthrough. I think it will be him and Amir Khan. I think Amir Khan has deserved that chance. It's going to be easy peasy for Floyd, 49-0. This is what it is. He came out directly after the fight, texted Stephen A. Smith, I'll give him a rematch, told Stephen A. to his face, I'll give him a rematch. Now he comes out the next day. He's a sore loser. He doesn't, want to do anything. He's a sore loser. He's coward, that's the word. He's a coward, this and that. We all know Floyd. Floyd's the fight seller. What was the first thing he told Stephen A. right after? And I think he was upset at himself for doing it. Yeah, I'll give him a rematch. You know why? Because it's easy, and it'll be an easy victory. He let the cat out of the bag. The rematch is coming, ladies and gentlemen. It'll be in May. They will have another rematch. It'll be an easy walkthrough for him. He will reach 50-0. The thing is, now we get to see the Floyd that the quote-unquote people hated, the casual fans hated that hate Floyd, the shit talker, the guy who's going to come out and not only call him a coward, but say that not only was the first match, the first matchup so easy, that this matchup is going to be easier. He will predict knockouts, and he will predict how bad he's going to beat him, and this will be what we wanted what we expected from Floyd the first go-round. Like you said, he didn't want to go in there, get Manny mad, get Freddie Roach mad, disrespect Freddie like I know he wanted to, disrespect Manny like I know he wanted to, and then end up getting beat because he's got a ferocious, mad, mean Manny who couldn't care less how much money he was going to make. He just wanted to beat the crap out of Floyd. He didn't want to bring that out. Manny's that type of guy. We know him now. He's God-fearing or whatever have you. He was happy. He was content. Floyd was giving him what he wanted, and Floyd was, being the gracious host, so to speak. So, in my opinion, this was a setup. Floyd definitely let the cat out of the bag early. He did not mean to. He did not mean to tell Stephen A., I could beat him easily. I'll give him the rematch. He definitely wanted to come out and say, I won't give him the rematch and this and that. And then by calling him a coward, end all be all, make Manny want this fight again. Manny will be healed up, quote unquote, will be ready by May. If we continue to hear this trash talking through September, through his next match, all we hear about still is Manny and not his next opponent, excuse me. And all we hear about is, you know, Manny's a coward. Manny can talk about the rematch all he wants. He's still not getting it. And especially if Manny plays into this, like I think he will want the money. He's the money guy, right? He wants the money. He's going to want to do this. He's going to come out when he's healthy and say, I was hurt. We've already heard it from Manny. I was hurt. You know, I think I won the fight. They want our money, and they're going to try to get it again. My fear is Floyd and Manny are going to set it up and get our money again. This is going to be something where we're going to see Floyd continually attack Manny and Manny continually attack back, use the injury as a crutch, and use the fact that I can knock you out when I'm healthy, and now May will be the end-all, be-all. Floyd knows what he's got coming to him. Floyd knows what he can do. And I think this sets up 50-0, easy walk for him, and another big payday. We all know the numbers. We heard them looking at almost 5 million buys, 5.2 million buys or what have you. It's going to be ridiculous the next go-round, but I do anticipate the next go-round. We've said it before, and I don't think there's a need to, but we'll say it again. Floyd can sell any fight. He's going to sell this one. It's going to be 50-0. He knows he's going to walk through him. He doesn't want anyone else. He's not going to give Porter a shot, even though he's got a loss. He's not going to give Thurman a shot. He's not going to give Kell Brook a shot. He's not going to give anyone like that a shot, especially when he's got 50-0 staring down the barrel.
Okay. Well, fair enough. But here's the interesting situation I see. If he's already said that he doesn't want to give him a rematch, I think he'll stay away from it. So I think the end all is the guy that has been calling Floyd out this long, and that being Amir Khan, and knowing that that could be a potential situation with boxer on boxer. This is what people want to see. They either want to see Floyd get knocked out or get outscored. Now, this is a situation where Amir sets that up, but the knock on that situation is the lowly chin of Amir Khan, and if it can take punishment, because we've seen the losses that he sustained. Everybody got to that chin and made those legs weary. So this is something that people are going to pay attention to moving forward. So I think this is how things are going to pan out. That's if Amir is successful in his next fight that he has upcoming. Everything is on the line for Amir to be successful in his next coming fight. Nacho, is there anything else that you'd like to touch on toward this before we get ready to close up here at the Food Fight?
You know what? Nothing really special. I know the fight's coming up pretty soon here. It's going to be interesting. This Canelo-Kirkland fight, I'm really excited for. But we have Triple G coming up. I know that's your guy. I know you
yes,
ride with Triple G. He's coming up. If I'm not mistaken, it's next weekend, right?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is, the 16th. So we are in for quite possibly the best 3 weeks, well, if you're a boxing fan, the best 3 weeks we could have had, May 2nd, today, and next Saturday, May 9th and May 16th. It's going to be an amazing time for us boxing fans. Like I said, Frankie Gomez is a little stain on the underpants of boxing right now. That's the ridiculousness that I don't understand right now. Jesus. Get it together. Get right with your weight. Get back in the ring and fight someone and knock them out, Frankie, because you need to prove all of us wrong right now on how we feel about you. Other than that, you know, I'm excited. I'm ready. Triple G coming up. Canelo tonight. My two favorite fighters right now is definitely Canelo and Triple G. I ride them with their bandwagon until the wheels fall off, so it's going to be very fun for me these next couple weeks. I'm sure for you next week's going to be an amazing time. And when we come back next week, I'm sure we'll have so much to talk about with Triple G and all the tremendous knockouts, the power. Man, I'm excited. Triple G is, like you said, he's the next guy. So after September or May, whenever Mayweather tries to hold it up, Triple G is going to be that guy. Even with Klitschko, even if he stays around, Triple G is going to end up taking over. So it's going to be fun to watch. And now the fans, I think, will get what they want in you know, a boxer who's going to knock out people in his path and keep that zero. So it's going to be fun to watch Triple G. It's going to be amazing.
Right. I mean, he's a fan favorite. He has that brawling mentality, but he boxes. That's the thing. He wants to, you know, box his way inside. And as soon as he gets to it, it's like his eyes light up like he's hit the lottery and he's throwing bombs. Even if you connect with a bomber, he has a strong chin to stay right there in the pocket and trade. So I can't wait for the 16th. I really want to see what he gets out there and does. And this is the one thing that I do like about Golovkin. After he's done with the fight, he's unbeaten. So I really want to knock on wood and hope he remains unbeaten. But as soon as they come to him with the press conference and see how he feels, he calls out boxers. So, Andre, I know you might be next. Miguel, I know you might be next. I just can't wait to hear what Gennady has to say to whomever has that microphone addressing him after his bout. I just cannot wait.
That is going to be an amazing that's going to be an amazing after interview. I love his interviews. And to your point, anyone listening, if you want to see it, the Daniel Gill fight, the Daniel Gill knockout, Triple G is getting punched in the face right before he knocks out Daniel Gill.
Hard. Check that out. Very hard.
And it really didn't look like his face moved, and then he ended up punching Daniel Gill's lights out, and then it was over. So if you want to see what it's like, check that fight out, and you'll understand what we talk about.
Listen to all the people, and look, I'm a diehard Floyd fan, and I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna stick with my boy through thick and thin until everything is all said and done. Until Floyd puts those gloves on the rack and says I'm done, and hopefully everything remains how it is. But until Floyd, when Floyd does do that, I'm jumping on the Triple G ship. I'm all gone. I'm like see y'all later. Y'all can do what y'all gotta do. To me, he's next. Of course, I'm a Garcia fan. I love what Danny does. I talk to Garcia, too, so that's cool, too. But Garcia has something to prove right now. Golovkin is the fan favorite. And the one thing about Golovkin is he's trying to learn American culture, learn how we speak. So I think that's going to gravitate to have more people trying to follow what he's doing in the ring. That's for sure, at least from my perspective. I could be wrong. People can have their own opinions, but that's why I want people to call in and deal with these issues that we have throughout around Sports City. I'm not sure. I do need a plug, close out, anything that you like to promote here at the Food Fight, another epic episode. We got three in the books, people. We did three shows in 2 weeks for y'all, so this is starting to get good, and we got some food for thought for y'all to do these dishes. But, Mrs. Silver, I need a plug, close out, anything that you like to promote as we shut down the doors here at the Food Fight.
You know, Premier Boxing Champions, like I said, it's coming. It's coming big. Omar Figueroa versus Ricky Burns tonight, live on CBS. It already started. It's been on for an hour now. Check it out. Check that out. You want to see some good boxing, check it out. And like I said, Premier Championship Boxing, they're going to have a lot to say in boxing becoming a household name again. Like we said, Gennady Golovkin, Triple G. What can I say? I am going to hop on his bandwagon with you. I'm already on it. He's one of the best fighters already. He's just an amazing, amazing fighter. Power in both hands. Like you said, the ability to take punches and knock people out. If he doesn't fight Miguel Cotto next after this, Miguel Cotto's ducking. If he doesn't fight Andre Ward after that or next, you know, Andre Ward is ducking. If he fights anyone other than those two next, in my opinion, they're ducking Golovkin. Because he wants them both. So that's my opinion on that weight class in the 160 middleweight. I think Triple G will be that lineal champion and take all the belts, whoever he fights, whenever he fights. Thank you again, at Nacho in a Box on Twitter. Like I said, we didn't get into it today, but I know MMA will be on the plate sooner rather than later. You brought up Jon Jones. I really didn't want to talk about him that much, but we will talk about the MMA and the big fights that are going on. And what have you in that sport as well. I did have some dishes maybe for next week that I can bring up, and that'll be fun if you're interested in that as well. So I'll get into some MMA next week, and that'll be fun. Thank you so much again. Like he said, three times. We'll be back again next week, and hopefully keep it going as long as possible.
And you know what? Since you said that, I might schedule to have the big man here himself. I want to see if I can get it done. Since not you want to talk MMA, I'm going to try and get Rumble in the kitchen. How about that? Would you like to do something with Rumble?
Hey, I don't care who you bring. It would be awesome. I love insight from anyone. So if you got his number or you got his back or whatever,
listen. Food for thought. Y'all could do those dishes. Let me get on my job, see what I can do, see if I can get Rumble in his kitchen so I can feed this brother down in Arizona. I know they're dealing with sand and desert heat. They see heat in the summertime on 117, 124. One time I seen it, I was like, no, I'm just not built for an Arizona summer. So, you know, it might be clouding his brain. I'm here for my brother regardless. I'm here for him. I got him. He's been here for me for a lot of stuff. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interview, the blog, the chef. I'll be back here tomorrow. Sunday, bunch of things up. We got a lot of stuff on Sleet. And, oh, yes, the NBA playoff tonight. As you see, Sirius, I'm looking for you so bad, Sirius. You better come to the brunch. I know you got church. But the way y'all got blown out of L.A., please come talk to me. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never. Business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight.
Yeah.
So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming. Our music keeps you moving, what are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of me, they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitate me, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Cat lays in my way. Francis, M to the is H phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body your abdominal. So I can buy a few cars, then I kick a few flows, so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my present. Never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, rat gun, ridiculous. And I'm quick to bust if my ends you touch. Kiss a girl you touch, in this world I clutch. Two auto, mattoes. Call me Fatso, now you call me Castro. My rap flows, militant. Y'all faggots ain't killing shit. Oops, Cristal keeps spilling shit. You overdid it, homes. You in the danger zone. You shouldn't be alone. Hold hands and say it like me. The most shady, Frankie baby. Fantastic,